The energy, we will call the Desert Community Energy Board meeting of February 14th, Valentine's Day 2022 to order, and wishing everyone a joyful Valentine's Day. Ms. Nelson, will you please call the roll as our clerk?
I will. City of Palm Desert?
Present.
City of Palm Springs?
Yeah, here.
We have a quorum.
Great. So the next item is public comments on agenda items. So this is a time for the public to address the committee on agenda items. If someone would like to speak on a specific agenda item, please let us know now if you'd rather wait till the item, because we will accommodate that. And people have 3 minutes. You can raise your hand on the Zoom, or if you're on phone, you can hit *9. Clerk, do we have any public comments?
We did not receive any written public comments, but I do believe I see a hand raised.
Great. Hi, yes. My name is Brad Anderson. I currently live in the city of Esmeralda. I just came into the meeting, and I understood that I can possibly the consent item number 5B. I would like to speak on that if that's available right now.
Yes, please go ahead, Brad.
Great, thank you. Yes, again, my name is Brad Anderson, City of Rancho Mirage. I'm opposed to this extending the remotely performed meeting for the board members only. I'll pick that law apart. But for the community like me calling in today, yes, it's a good thing. But I think the two board members should be presented in person. And I think the social distancing narrative has been debunked in its original concept. But again, the city or this board definitely has the capabilities of accommodating the public in larger venues throughout your city, throughout Palm Springs. So I think continuing this would be a miscarriage of justice, I guess, and the good intentions that this law was supposed to accommodate to. So, and that's it until the non-agenda comments. I'll just listen. Thank you.
And that will conclude our public comments.
Great. Thank you. The public comment period is closed. Next are board member, director, and staff comments.
Anything?
Mr. Jonathan, anything?
Nope.
Okay. None. We'll move on to our consent calendar. There are three items. First is approving the minutes from the board meeting of January 10th, 2022. The second is affirming the findings still exist pursuant to Assembly Bill 361 to authorize continuation of remote teleconference virtual meetings of Desert Community Energy. And C, the third one, is to authorize the executive director to negotiate and execute amendments to the renewable power purchase agreement and renewable energy purchase and sale agreement with Deer Creek Solar. So, Member Jonathan, anything you'd like to have separate discussion on?
Yeah, just a brief separate discussion on 5B, as in Bravo, and I would move for the balance.
Okay, so I will second that. So all in favor of approving the consent calendar with the exception of 5B?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that carries. And 5B, go ahead, Councilmember Jonathan.
Just a brief question. As we're all hopefully nearing some level of normalcy, I wonder, and we're all addressing what our meetings will look like in the future, does CVAG have any plans potentially for hybrid meetings, or have they not addressed post-COVID meetings yet?
Yes, Vice Chair Jonathan, I think that's still under consideration as we move through the COVID process. As you know, CVAG went through a fairly extensive effort to poll the members to identify the options for meetings. Unless Jennifer Nelson has any additional comment, I think that, you know, we're still kind of waiting to see, just as most of the rest of the world is as well.
Okay, maybe at the next meeting, we can address that in a little more detail. I'm just curious, and the public may be curious. I know that some of our cities, for example, are exploring the possibility of hybrid meetings where participants can join in via Zoom, and elected officials or board members in this case can join in virtually or in person. And of course, some of that depends on where the law will take us post executive order and so forth. So I'm just curious. And if there's nothing concrete, it can be just a brief report saying, you know, we haven't come to a conclusion yet.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, we'd be happy to bring that back at the next meeting. Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you, Ms.
And I agree on that. I would just add is, you know, we're looking at hybrid in Palm Springs, and you know, we've tried it on some boards I'm on that don't have the television capabilities that we have. And it's harder to do the hybrid in that scenario. So it really depends on CVAG's, you know, how that's set up. But it also was great, you know, having the ability to do hybrid, I think works well, even if someone's sick, right? And has the flu, we prefer that they could participate, but you don't always have 3-day notice that you're gonna be sick to post it. So currently, you know, that works well, but I think everyone's anxious to be able to be in person if they can be as well. So thank you.
Okay.
Okay, so with that, do we have a motion on 5B?
Move approval.
Okay, I'll second. All in favor? Yes.
Aye.
Okay. So we move on to our discussion items. Welcome, Mr. Friedman. So first item you're up for is 6A, Contract for Distributed Energy Resource Program.
Thank you and good afternoon, Chair Kors and Vice Chair Jonathan. I would like to update you on the Distributed Energy Resources or DER program that staff has worked on and get your authorization of a contract award to Terra Verde Energy following our recent RFP. First, I want to give you a brief overview of DER. Next slide, thank you. A DER is a small-scale unit of power generation that operates locally and is connected to a larger power grid at the distribution level, often behind a customer's retail power meter. Rooftop solar, battery storage, microgrids, and energy efficiency and demand management are often collectively referred to as DERs. Next slide, please. A DER program creates many benefits for DCE aligned with the goals set by the board, including customer energy cost savings, grid resilience with battery storage, engaging with commercial customers, local jobs and investment, a new revenue source for DCE, and enhancing the Coachella Valley's clean energy profile. Next slide, please. I'd like to summarize staff's request for proposal process. First, we released the RFP on November 19, 2021. We received 5 proposals before the December 23rd deadline, including proposals from energy consultants that experience working for other CCAs. We established an evaluation team consisting of 2 DCE staff members, a portfolio manager from the Energy Authority, and a member of our Community Advisory Committee, Mr. Daniel Paris from Palm Desert. We reviewed and scored the proposals and then interviewed the 3 highest scores. Following the interviews, we rescored the proposals and the highest score was Terra Verde Energy. We also spoke with 2 CCAs that are now working with Terra Verde on the same DER program. On that basis, staff recommends awarding the DER program contract to Terra Verde, whose proposal is included in your staff report. Next slide, please. It's a pilot program with 4 phases. The first 2 are at no cost to DCE, and the next 2 are subject to fee payments from DCE, but only if the board agrees to implement the DER program. Phase 1 is design feasibility and assessment. Terra Verde will design a 5-6 megawatt pilot program for non-residential customers, including identifying target customers, evaluating customer savings and portfolio impacts to DCE, determining appropriate program structure, and producing a cash flow pro forma. Staff will present Terra Verde's findings to the board and get your direction to move forward with phase 2. Phase 2 is program development. Terra Verde will engage target customers, develop a contract with the target customers and a power purchase agreement with the solar and storage system vendor and administer the vendor RFP. Staff will then present the proposed agreements with the vendor and the customers, along with the financial analysis to the board for your approval. If the board approves the agreements and the financial package, phase three is the implementation phase. Terra Verde will oversee the solar and storage system installation at the customer sites. This phase triggers payment of Terra Verde's development fee of 6% of the total project cost, which fee is estimated at $900,000. And then phase four is administration and asset management once the solar and storage systems are operating. Terra Verde will provide energy system performance optimization and administrative assistance for an annual fee of a penny per kilowatt hour based on the solar PV production, and that fee is estimated at $82,500 per year. Next slide, please. Staff's recommendation is that you authorize the executive director to finalize and sign a contract with Terra Verde Energy for a pilot behind the meter distributed energy resources program requiring no cost to DCE until additional board action is taken. Staff has received a draft contract from Terra Verde based on the professional services agreement attached to the RFP and Terra Verde's submission, and is reviewing it with DCE's legal counsel. That concludes my presentation. I'm available for any questions you may have, and Mr. David Burdick of Terra Verde is also available for your questions. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much for the presentation. Councilmember Jonathan, any questions or comments?
I do have a couple of questions. Did you want to go first, Mr.
No,
Chair?
No, please. Go ahead.
Okay. Mr. Friedman, thank you. Good presentation, good staff report, much appreciated. A couple of questions. This was an RFP, not an RFQ. So the fee proposal would have been part of the RFP, as I understand it. I didn't see that, and maybe I missed it outlined in the report. How did Terra Verde compare in its fee proposal to the other four applicants?
In fact, there is a fee proposal, which I mentioned is no cost for phases one and two, and then essentially a back-end cost in phases three and phase four. Terra Verde was the only of the five submitters in the proposals that actually had the design phase at no cost to DCE, and you can imagine that that was a strong favor for it because the others were around $100,000 to do the initial design phase. And that is at no risk to DCE for those two phases.
I understand that. What about the rest of the cost that would be incurred, the $15 million for the project cost, the $900,000 in fees if we were to move forward? Did Terra Verde compare favorably with the other applicants?
Generally so. The proposals were fairly different, so it was a bit of an apples and oranges, but we did work very closely with Representative Mr. Alex Wong of the Energy Authority, and he confirmed from a financial basis that this was the proposal of the most interest to DCE.
Thank you. And my final question is, can you just give a brief summary of the kinds of things that the project cost of $15 million would go towards? There may have been a budget, but I missed that.
It is there. It's essentially, it's the total project cost. It is on page 31 Mr. Burdick's proposal of the Terra Verde. I believe it's on page 45 of the total agenda package, and it is a very small footnote, so quite understandable that you missed it. That's in the Exhibit B on total costs, and the footnote is total project costs of all costs and expenses in designing, developing, purchasing, constructing, and permitting the distributed energy resource. Essentially, these are the hard costs. There may be a bit of soft costs, but essentially these are the hard costs of literally putting up the panels up on the roofs and the battery systems along with them. There are some soft costs, but largely these are hard costs.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Mr. Friedman.
Thank you. I have no further questions. Is there a motion?
Yes, move approval.
I will second that. All in favor?
Yes. Aye.
Okay, the motion carries. We'll continue with Mr. Friedman with a resolution in support of rooftop solar and net energy metering.
Thank you again, Chair Kors. This matter is related to the net energy metering or NEM proceeding currently pending, although temporarily on hold at the California Public Utilities Commission. Staff recommends that the board approve a resolution like the ones recently adopted by the Palm Springs City Council, as well as the Desert Hot Springs Council in support of rooftop solar and net energy metering. The CVAG Energy and Environmental Resources Committee also approved a similar resolution last week for consideration by the CVAG Executive Committee when it meets on the 28th. And I understand the Palm Desert City Council may be considering a resolution next month following a request by Mr. Floyd, who's a member of our Community Advisory Committee. DC has nearly 4,500 NEM customers who export to the grid renewable energy that DC is able to use to meet its state renewable procurement standards. Under the proposed decision released by the CPUC in December, current as well as new NEM customers would pay monthly grid access fees of $50 or more and have the value of the energy they export to the grid substantially reduced. Several CCAs have expressed concern that rapid changes to the NEM tariff are contrary to the efforts to decarbonize the state's electric supply and would discourage low and middle income customers, as well as those living in disadvantaged communities, from installing solar and energy storage and enrolling in NEM programs. Although the parties to the NEM proceeding have taken strong opposing positions, staff recommends a broad resolution that reflects the goals previously adopted by the DC Board of expanding clean energy access to make it affordable to all households and meet the climate goals set by the state and DCE. Following the concerns expressed by many stakeholders, the CPUC announced earlier this month that the proposed decision is on hold until further notice, so the proposed resolution would be sent to the CPUC in time for its consideration of changes to the NEM tariff, as well as to Governor Newsom and members of the region's legislative delegation. That concludes my staff report, and I am once again available for any questions you may have.
Great. Thank you. Councilmember Jonathan, any questions or comments? Okay, so Mr. Friedman, so I was on a press conference on this tied to the Palm Springs resolution with some other elected officials in the Inland Empire. And one of the questions came up, you know, given utilities will make more money this way, or CCAs, you know, supporting the change, opposing it, or staying neutral. I said I expected this to come to us. But I did want to ask, and I fully support us doing this, because that's the difference between us and utilities that, you know, make money instead of just serve the public, is we're in this to make sure we achieve the goals in climate change and green energy, as well as hopefully long-term saving people money who do that. So, but do we know, are other CCAs taking the same position? Is there, you know, if they are, is there a way we could do, assuming we pass this, a joint press event, you know, because CCAs taking, as utility providers, right, we are procuring the power, taking a different position, even though there's financial, you know, potential financial benefit, I think is really, could be a really powerful statement. And so I don't know if there's been talking with a statewide CCA group or anything on this.
So CalCCA has not taken a formal position, but several CCAs, and I've noted them in the staff report, have made filings to the California Public Utilities Commission. What I think would be possible, given the fact that this is now on hold and there will be another, either an alternative proposed decision or a revised proposed decision, which then sets out another set of public comments on that, that we could potentially contact our colleagues at such as East Bay Community Energy, or MCE, which is Marin, and let them know that when they're putting in a letter, that we could join them as a, you know, as a supporter of their letter. That would probably be the best approach and the most efficient approach, that we essentially sign on. And in fact, several CCAs have done that. So I would recommend that approach. And assuming you approve this resolution, we can reach out to them and let them know to keep us posted. And we'd like to join on in their filings with the CPUC once there's a new decision, which probably won't be until March, maybe April now.
Okay, great. Thank you. And with that, do we have a motion?
Let me ask you, Mr. Chair, you mentioned a press conference or other ways to alert the public. Do you feel that Mr. Friedman's recommendation is sufficient, or did you have any other things in mind?
Well, I think obviously if the CalCCA organization takes a position, that would be ideal. And I don't know if there's a way we can encourage that. But there may be, with the outreach, I was going to reach out to Mr. Friedman, but yeah, with the outreach, I think to the other places, really see if there's some appetite to doing a joint Zoom, it's easy now, right? Press conference. And if we get some of the major CCAs, the larger ones, to join us in this, LA, Marin, Sonoma, other places, I do think we could maybe get some statewide media on it. So,
I
think it's worth seeing if they'd be interested in something like that.
One place that I would recommend, and you actually have seen this because I believe it was in the staff report for Palm Springs. This initiative was led by the mayor of Berkeley, and they're in the zone of EBCE, of East Bay Community Energy. So I think a press conference that would include a number of mayors, and they were the ones who actually led this initiative. The CCAs are kind of, I won't say late to the game, but a smaller voice for reasons that perhaps you could understand, because we don't know what the financial effects would be, but the municipalities have been very strong voices. So I think working with potentially EBCE and ideally the mayor of Berkeley and others who have led this from the municipal perspective could be a potentially a good idea.
Great, and that'd be great. And if you need any help with outreach, I co-chair the California Mayors Coalition, so if you let me know who the folks are, I'm happy to reach out on that. And we actually did a presentation, I think one or two meetings ago, of the Mayors Coalition on this.
Okay.
And there was a lot of support.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for asking that, Councilmember.
Of course. Well, I would support any and all of the above, and in that regard, move for approval of staff recommendation.
I'll second. All in favor? Yes.
Hi.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Friedman. Appreciate it. We'll move on to our information items. And just for the public, it's attendance record on unaudited financial report for July 1st to November 30th of 2021, update on DC program activities, and Southern California Edison time of use billing transition. On the latter one, if easy to do, can you just do a quick summary of that change? If not, I'm happy to do it, Ms. Barros.
Mr. Chair, you'd like a summary of the time of use transition?
Yeah, so it's in the record and for the public. And then
yes.
I want to ask some thoughts on how we do some public education around time of use and some other things.
Okay, great. Yeah, so basically the effort with the time of use is to encourage people to shift their energy use, as we've been talking about here a lot at DCE, to avoid those peak hours when energy is not only more expensive, but it's oftentimes perhaps not the cleanest energy. Of course, DCE's is carbon free, but it's basically to adjust to the schedule where solar is now being a much larger percentage of our energy, and that happens during the daytime hours. And as we all come home and start using all our electric items, we obviously are placing higher demand on the system. So the time of use gives customers rate.
Oops, you froze. Give that Katie a minute. If not, the main thing we wanted to.
Sorry, Chair. Yeah. Okay, sorry for the technical difficulties. We're going to pull in Liz Barnwell, who should be able to assist if you just.
Okay, and I can provide the long and the short of it, which is just the new hours that are going to be the highest rate, the peak hours. And for people who aren't on carbon free, whether they're with DC or anywhere, in the region or anywhere else, is going to be from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. So that is the time, really try and have the public reduce their energy use. And the only thing I just wanted to share is, I know we've been putting out information on, time of use, but I've been getting questions on, for people who have solar, especially if it's not 100%, they're not producing all of their power, but just some or most of it. you know, what are the best hours for them, which obviously are before four. But should they be charging their cars then in the day instead of at night, which many people had been told previously by Edison, they should be charging at night. But if they but their solar's not working at night. So I was wondering if we might want to pull together a fact sheet of time of use for people, you know, who don't have solar, do have solar, less than 100%, or have solar 100% or more, for when they should be, you know, trying to reduce their use, and also if they have electric cars, when they should be charging them, because that would be really helpful. And I think we could share it at our city council meetings and share it with the other CVAG cities, because I think everyone wants to save their residents and businesses money. And, you know, I think everyone wants to have as much green energy used as possible, even if they're not part of DCE, or at least most people. So I think it would be, you know, if we can have a one-page fact sheet, just if you're in this bucket, this bucket, this bucket, you know, when you should be, one, charging your car if you have a home charger, and two, when you should be not using appliances, to air conditioning, et cetera, to the extent you can.
Yeah, thank you for that, Mr. Chair. I love the idea. And if it's not too much trouble for staff, if you can provide that kind of one-page summary, our staff can distill that and put it into our monthly newsletter, social media, and so forth. And then if it's possible to do even a 2 or 3 slide presentation that, you know, as council members do an update on meetings we've attended, I can put that at a council meeting too. Yeah. That would be great.
And as well, that's a great idea.
Thank you.
We absolutely can do that. Thank you very much for that.
Great, thank you. Next item is our public comment on non-agenda items. Anyone has public comment on non-agenda items that are within the purview of this committee? You can raise your hand, hit *9, and Kirk Nelson, do we have anything?
We did not receive any written comments.
Hey, I see, is Mr. Anderson's hand up from earlier, or was that new? It's new? Okay, Grant Anderson, if you'd like to make public comment.
Hi, yes, I wasn't allowed to unmute. So anyway, yes, my name is Brad Anderson, City of Rancho Mirage. Just a couple of things. I have several items, but I'm only allowed 2 minutes, and I'm going to try not to even use that. My issue, I was very disappointed at the last meeting to see that the line of credit that you that your organization undertook. And I understand that the Palm Springs board will probably look at that too, and they probably have, I guess, by now. I don't really monitor Palm Springs anymore. It's just too out there for me. So anyway, my main concern, and I guess I'm going to just, I've said this before, and really, I guess, put you on notice. I'll write a letter or two to this fact, but I'm really heavily concerned that this board is controlled by 2 board members. And I understand it's very confusing. I've read through everything, and I have a good, I think I have a really fair understanding of how this operates. But even 3, when you had 3 active voting members, that was not best practice in California by far, and having 2 is even worse. So I expect, hopefully you can address this at your next meeting, because I will too. And like I said, I'll put it in writing, and then we'll take it from there. And this is not a threat or anything. It's just like you know, I heard you mention public a lot, public, but the public is really not involved in this when you only have 2 board members. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Take a quick look to see if there's anyone else. I don't see any other public comment.
Or neither do I. Thank
else? You. Okay, thank you. So announcements, our next DC board meeting will be held on March 21st, 2022 at 2:30 p.m. And it's currently planned to be via Zoom. And absent objection, if we could move these to 3, I know that Mayor Middleton's my alternate and typically has something to 3, and sometimes it runs a little over, which I think happened today. But if that works for everyone.
We can certainly check into that.
Yeah, and thank you for putting up with my schedule, 3 o'clock, because of other standing committee meetings that I have that conflict on certain Mondays. That would actually work better for me as well. A very deep and sincere apology for the 21st. I had an unavoidable trip out of town, out of state, that came up. I will not be here on the 21st. I'm happy to send my alternate. Alternatively, later in the week, Wednesday, the 23rd at 3, or whatever works for you, Chair and staff. But I wanted to alert you that I had an unavoidable trip out of state on the 21st. And we can address that via email later if you want.
I would just say the 23rd at 3 works for me, and the 28th, if we want to keep it on Mondays for the benefit of the public, is
either way.
So staff, if you want to figure out what works best for whoever needs to be on, and I'm happy to move it.
We'll do that. We'll take a look at those dates and times and confer with you both, and we can then set the next meeting.
Great. Thank you. And again, my apologies. Sorry.
And my apologies for the technical difficulties. I lost my connection.
Good. Well,
I was able to fill in. Thanks so much, Mr. Chair, for taking up the time of use cause. And we certainly will follow your suggestions. Those are great ideas.
Great. And thank you, everyone. Have a great rest of your day. And the meeting is now adjourned. Take care.
Thank you.
You too. Bye. Thank you, everyone. Bye, everyone.